Welcome to the Animus podcast. Today we're going to be talking with Cal Geo. She's going to be telling us about her love for connecting people, how she's working on multiple projects, but also exploring what it is to be a multi-potentialite. So it's great to have you here with us, Carol. And we were talking earlier about that whole multi-potentialite, that you're a multi-potentialite. So give us a sense of what that is.
Okay, so multi-potentialite is the kind of person, I've just realized what I am, it's quite recent, that I like just saying yes to things and not even think about it, because like people will say, don't you worry, this, and they look at all the negatives, and I haven't even crossed, it hasn't even crossed my mind, and I always think, I think it's my mindset that something good is going to happen. I don't even think what's going to happen with this. So I don't have that time to think, if I say yes to this thing, is this going to lead me somewhere? I just believe that it will lead me somewhere.
So there's no strategy in your thinking?
No.
You're just going and doing stuff.
Yeah.
So what are all the things that you're currently involved in?
Okay, so I do the one-to-one coaching. And then I've started doing a project with other coaches to do a social enterprise to work in schools. Mm-hmm. So it's still at the stage where we meet up, we discuss the market research, what's up there. So we do lots of reflecting. And yeah, so luckily I've got people like which help me with the structure because I'm more like, yeah. And then so it's good to work in partnership. So that's really nice. Then I work with Rachel Roberts, who's creating this charity for the kids in care. So hopefully it's all going to work as well. I'm going to be a trustee. I've also connected with Anglia Ruskin University in Cambridge and starting a mentorship program with them. Also University of Cambridge, then the network, the Rising Festival, I've started connecting with them, then the Cambridge Network. So I just go with it. I don't even wait for the opportunity, I just make
just
the opportunity
go make it happen.
As well. Yes.
So a lot of new coaches kind of have that fear, anxiety about getting out there and starting things. What do you offer to them around that?
Well, okay, so first of all, I think I'm lucky in the sense that I don't have this fear and this worry of what if, is this the right thing to do or not? So I have this. But if they do have this fear, I would say, well, actually, there's lots of people out there ready to help. Like I contacted this very important CEO coach making lots of money. And I thought, okay, let's meet up and discuss how he's doing things. And then we had a very lovely two-hour conversation and gave me tips. And he was really happy to just share with me his insight in the world of coaching, which he has had for 20 years.
So you were just reaching out to people
yes.
that you want to talk to, that seem interesting to you, and take it from there.
Yes, and it's really lovely because even people on LinkedIn, I said, can we connect? And people will just pick up the phone and say, yeah, let's organize a call. And I never know what's going to be the outcome of this conversation because I might get some ideas, somebody, it's all sharing, and I've realized humans like sharing, actually.
Yeah. So would you say there is a kind of an energy or a way about you that sort of invites people into that?
Well, first of all, I think they will see that I'm confident and I'm reaching out and I'm just being me. I'm being myself, authentic me, and not, I don't have a hidden agenda. I will say to people straight to the point, yeah, I'm trying to do this. Can you help me? Or do you know somebody who can help me? And it works out fine.
Okay, so just being honest, open, asking that question.
Yeah, I think a lot of people say, oh, networking, I don't like it because we try. I said, no, just say why you in the space, what you're trying to do, and then you will feel authentic within yourself.
Lovely.
And people will resonate with that.
So you've got sort of multiple projects on the go. Are there any of them that sort of are really true to your heart or your mission or your passion?
So I think we're going back to the multi-potentialite. I think when you say the word passion, it's always, what was my, I think a lot of people, I think we are being told in society that we have to have a purpose. We have to know why we're doing things, where are you going with it. So it's like you have this linear trajectory.
Yeah.
And the way I've realized I am is like, there's no such thing. So this project might go into this project. And again, I like, so sharing ideas, then I can put people in touch as well. Like Rachel, I know, oh, I know Maggie can help you, and okay. Joe can help you, and can this connect.
So you're connecting point. People.
Yes, I love doing
you're
that.
Connecting yourself.
Yes.
You're just seeing where things take you.
Yeah.
And just building your empire from there. So I also know that you're really active on the Animus Connect. That's part of what you like to do, is set up groups and have conversations with people. So tell us a little bit about that.
So I've created a group for people who want to be involved in schools. So there's loads of good reactions there. And so I'm doing this one, and there's a French one.
Okay.
For French speaking. So I still want to create an event where we call meet up and speak in French and coach, you know, all French coaches and
nice.
People speaking in French. And there's the East Anglia one because I'm based in Cambridge.
Okay.
So, for example, in December we had a Christmas dinner. So four lovely ladies, we met up, had lots of fun. So, yeah, so I've created these groups. And my only frustration is, like, I don't have enough time to keep going, you know. Like, people say, oh, when are you doing the next one? I'm like, yes. That's part of the issue I have.
Yeah.
I've got so many ideas. And
so I suppose there's a multi-potentialite. Time's going to be one of the challenges for you because you're doing so many different things. So how do you keep hold of all of these different things?
I've got lots of lists and reminders and calendars and post-it notes. And yeah, luckily some people would connect again with me to say, hey, we're waiting for you to do something.
Okay.
So yeah, so it's kind of, you've got the role of the leader. At the same time, it's quite frustrating because you'd like other people to take on things, but you realize that everybody's busy, and if you don't do this being proactive, then it's not going to happen.
You're also involved in the Wilderness Foundation. Could you tell me a little bit about that?
Okay, so this initiative was run by Kevin Mascarenhas, and what happened is, like, a team of coaches go for the day to the Wilderness Foundation, and we meet with some, let's say, challenge young people. Often they find it hard to go to school, so they've got different level of issues. And we go in nature for the day, and we coach them. So this time it was, I coached the same person in the morning and the afternoon, so we got two sessions.
Okay.
And yeah, so walking, and it felt different because there's more sitting in silence. You walk, then you can sit and be there together. So it's quite powerful because you're not just coaching. Like, at one stage, it was making me listen to his music because he's playing the guitar. So it's like, coaching embedded in a conversation.
Yeah, a real an experience.
Yeah.
So, and are you pulling the nature and the views and the wildlife, are you pulling that into the coaching? Is that part of the work?
I think we don't actually... We mentioned it, so where shall we sit, where shall we go now, but it's more, it's integrative, it's all there.
Yeah.
And it feels very peaceful.
Because I know there are some coaches that will use the outdoors as part of the metaphors for what's happening within the coaching and sort of draw on those ideas to help the client sort of think about it and frame what's taking place for them. Do you think that happens within this?
I think because it's younger people, I don't think I really did that with them, but yes, more holistic, it's just happened.
And I guess I'm assuming they're urban young people, so being in that outdoors environment, it's going to have a different effect on them as well.
Mm. I think just having a conversation with a coach is so unique that in itself is something really powerful.
Lovely.
Yeah.
Good stuff. So what's the other project you're doing in schools then? So you said on the Animus Connect, you've got a project about schools.
We want to create a social enterprise because, well, I'm from the education background. I used to teach French. Well, I still teach French a bit, but there's also an economics teacher. So there's three coaches and a teacher together. And then also other people in that Animus Connect group are ready to step in and be coaches once we develop this social enterprise, and they're happy to be interviewed, to be advisory for us. And so we want to make a change. We don't want just to be another training company, say, hey, we can offer CPD, just we come in for the day and you've ticked the box and we're off. We really want to make an impact. So we're still working on that.
And what's the impact that you want to make?
We want to change the culture, the feel, the atmosphere in schools, because a lot of teachers are leaving the profession. I'm one of them. And we don't want that. And we feel that students will benefit if the teachers are happier. It's a knock-on effect. We've already sensed that teachers are leaving the profession because they're overworked, because they're not listened to by the management. So it's all organisation level. So we're still trying to find our feet around
that.
Yeah,
so it's really interesting because I've done some work in schools, as you might know, and just thinking about, you know, where, at what level can you make that change? Is it in a particular school? Is it within government itself?
Yeah, when you have this discussion, it was like, oh, we sound like politicians because we're looking at big reports.
Yeah.
There was a big report out in 2004 and it was all about coaching and it still seemed to be scrapped. So it's like all lots of ideas are being thrown by the government itself and then it stops. So, yeah, we want to make sure that this is going to be serious. We are coming from a good place. And so we're looking at what sort of school we want to target. Is it outstanding school or really doing right thing, or school who have no coaching at all and need? So we're still looking at that, and we will do a pilot to start with.
So when you were saying about, you know, working in schools, whether you go for outstanding schools, I just wondered if you'd connected with Sonia Gill, who's an ex-Anima student who runs Heads Up.
Yeah, she's on our list of people we want to interview. Yeah, because we're making a big list of, oh, these people, every time I go to a talk and they say, oh, this person might, as again, I can reach out to certain people, just their point of view.
So you're one of those great community networkers, and I just wondered, how's the Animus community been for you around that?
So Animus for me has been really helpful in sense. So it's two things. It's all the connection I've made and also all the talks. Every time I go, again, I just go because I follow the flow. So, yeah, I go. And, for example, there was the talk by Nick about the temporal self.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, this is helping me through my coaching because it comes up in the discussion. So all these things, one day might be helpful. So I'm like a bigger recipient of
you're like
connection.
A magpie just going around picking up all these things.
Yes, yes.
And I also know that you wrote an article for Animus. What was the experience of writing that?
So initially, I just wrote it, you know, it was one Saturday night, I still remember, and I wrote till 1 a.m. And then I contacted Jay and said, oh, I've got an article, would you like me to publish it? And then he had a look, and then bit of editing, nothing, not much. And then he published it, and Animus published it, and I really didn't expect that so many people would resonate with what I wrote, because it was about being a being a multi-potentialite. And just because it was through my coaching that I discovered this myself. So it's like, because I know what coaching has done for me, I want to give back to people, because it's a look, thankfully I've been coached and somebody mentioned this to me. And then, again, it's like spreading the good, maybe I'm a messiah, you know, like. So writing this article has brought back many comments, like friends keep saying, oh, I really like your article, Karen writing. I was like, oh, okay. And all of a sudden, a guy from Sao Paulo in Brazil liked my professional Facebook page.
Okay.
And I said, so I contacted him and said, how come? You're from Brazil. And then he said he read my article.
So I love how proactive you are. So somebody liked your page, you didn't just leave it at that. You actually reached out and said, hey, who are you?
Yeah.
How are we connecting?
Yes. And then lately, so a person contacted me again on Facebook because he read my article. And then we had a consultation. And now he's working with me, being coach.
Brilliant.
So
as a multi-potentialite, if you were going to give some new coaches, or maybe not even new coaches, some top tips of what they might do, what would you give?
So I remember asking Nick, actually, on the lounge once. I said, do you just decide on one specific project and do it all, or is it okay to have several things at the time? Because that was me, because people say, no, you have to pick. And I was like, oh, I've got to pick. And it was not me. And his answer was quite good, because he said, well, actually, you could be very efficient if you just pick the one, or not so efficient not having loads, but what makes you happy is what matters.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, I'll go for that. I'm not desperate to have that one thing. Yeah, I might be richer, but that's not me. So I will carry on all these things. So again, I would say to coaches, don't feel this pressure on you have to find your niche straight away, because that might just happen holistically. Just, oh, this is my niche now. And niches change as well.
Absolutely.
Usman mentioned that as well, that things have changed for him. Yeah. So, yeah, not feel this pressure and just follow their instinct, their gut, and then what's resonant with themselves. Because they can compare themselves to other coaches and say, oh, I'm going to do exactly what this person has done.
You. Thank you.
Oh, I was weird. So it's good to get inspired by others, but still say, I am inspired, but I'm not going to be influenced as, like, it doesn't resonate with me. It will be still what I want to do at the end of the day. You might not know what you want to do. That's the thing. But, yeah, go with the flow.
Go with the flow.
And be patient. Be really patient, because I'm very impatient, and I've had to learn that to create a business, you have to follow a few steps, and it's little step at a time. And don't give up. That's the main thing, because you have times where clients don't come in, it's Christmas time, there's no, and then you have to just fight for it, go for it.
So being patient, not giving up, following your instincts, doing the things that make you happy.
Yes.
Lovely.
And don't compare yourself too much to others. That could be quite detrimental.
And is there a vision for your coaching?
The non-vision coach. my big plan later on is to go traveling, and I will start going 1 week there, 1 week there. So I've got already Granada on my radar for a week, Portugal for a week, because as a coach, you can be based wherever you want. So I've talked with Sam Chilcott, who's at the moment in Gran Canaria.
Yeah.
So it was snowing there, and he was like showing me his blue sky. And so he's connected with nomads, and you know, people travel like that, and then started projects in Gran Canaria. So this is the kind of vision I have, where as coaches, the world is ours, so we can be based wherever we want.
So doing all those different things, tapping into things that sort of create flow and energy for you whilst travelling around the world.
Yeah. And having my little camper van.
Nice.
And coach from there.
Brilliant stuff.
So that's a big vision.
So if people want to find you.
Okay, so I've just started my website, and it's citycoaching.co.uk.
Lovely.
And it's not about compact discs, as some people have mentioned. So CD stands for Carole Douillot, and also stands for collaborative dialogue.
Lovely. Yeah. Oh, that's really nice. Collaborative dialogue. It's a real. And so, do you talk about collaborative dialogues on your webpage as well?
Yes. I also want to do a video, and also with some of my clients, I'm making case studies, so it'll be a bit more interactive, because I think a lot of websites are really long. This is what coaching is. And I think having little demos or little videos speaks more to people, especially for younger generation, like students or graduates and people I'm trying to coach more, that will speak to them.
Brilliant.
More interactive.
That's great. So it's been a real pleasure talking with you today, and I wish you all the best with your many different projects.
Thank you very much.
Cheers.
Thank you.